You know, a big part of our mission is to share God's love with everyone, and that's not only here locally and in North Central Kansas, but around the world. And one of the ways that we do that is by partnering with various missionaries and also informing the congregation of some of the needs that are around you. About a month ago, I knew Rosvon and Alyssa Salvu. We knew that they were here. They came back to the United States and got married. Alyssa is the daughter of Alan and Lori Kaufman. I should say the granddaughter of Lauren and Callie Reber. And Alyssa is the brother of Alex that is here as well. So we'll just try to get everyone there. I think Austin's in Sunday school right now. But anyway, we had talked about maybe them just coming up and sharing about 10 minutes or so about what the Lord has been doing in their life and things. And through our schedules, we finally coordinated that. And this week we got together, and as we were talking, and I just really sensed that where we have been going as a congregation is where they are at right now. Last week we talked about it, our take-home points was to fix your hope in Christ. I want you to think about these as Rosamond and Alyssa come and share and how they have set their hope on Christ. And then we talked about living in obedience in 24/7, that obeying God even when it is difficult and holding true to what God has called you to do, even when it seems like the circumstances aren't lining up that way. And then we talked about proceeding with God. And part of how they proceed with God is as we lift them up in prayer, they have an opportunity for you to sign up for their newsletter so you can partner with them in prayer. Have a prayer card. And by the way, on their prayer card, it says, bringing the hope of Christ to the orphans and outcasts in Romania. And you know that recently we as a church have gone through that we really believe that with more specificity, God wants us to be about in our communities to ignite hope, be about igniting hope for families. And so I'm going to invite Rosvon and Alyssa to come up. Next week we'll be back in Haggai chapter 2, and we'll go down scripturally through that. But why don't you give them a hand as they come up? And also, because of your faithfulness and faith promise giving, we are making, we're going to give them a love gift today and saying we believe in what God is doing in and through you. And so thank you for your faithfulness in that.
Thank you. Well, we are very excited to be here with you this morning, and we think it's a privilege to share about our ministry. And we are excited to just share a little bit about it, even though it won't be enough time. But we want to start by telling you some quick facts about our country so that as we speak, you may have a small idea of where is it and, you know, things like that. So Romania is located in Eastern Europe, and it shares border with Ukraine, Moldova. I mean, probably you heard of Ukraine and all the stuff that's happening there right now. And Bulgaria, Serbia, and Hungary. And it takes us about 30 hours to get there. So if you love traveling, you might consider traveling to Romania. So it's always fun when we have to come here or go back. We currently live in northern Romania. That's actually our capital, where you see that flag pinned. But we live in Oradea, which is Bihor County, next to the Hungarian border. And we want to tell you something about our culture. Romanians spell love, F-O-O-D. We love food and we like to share food with our friends and family. So if you have family and friends, I guarantee you, you'll never go hungry. And you may ask your friends that maybe went there, and they will confirm this. We like to make a lot of food and we like to share it with our friends and family. Communists fell in Romania in 1989. So Romania was a communist country for about 44 years. And the effect of communism can still be seen even today after 20, almost 6 years. And especially in the older generation. So building trust, a lot of time it's a very difficult thing, and it takes time and energy. So a lot of times one of our biggest challenges is how are we gonna, you know, come closer to people so that they will trust us, so that we can share the gospel Otherwise, they're going to be kind of, you know, defensive. They don't want to deal with you. So a lot of times it's just difficult just to build these relationships in order to share the gospel, because it takes a lot of time and energy.
Romania also has a very large population of Roma people. These people came from India hundreds of years ago, and so they have their own nationality. They have their own language, culture, and traditions that is separate from the Romanian culture and traditions. And they also face a lot of racism and discrimination in Romania and all over Europe. They're also generally very poor because of all of the discrimination that they face, and the cycle of poverty is not easily broken because it often results out of their poverty. They steal and then continue the bad name that they have throughout Europe. So that is one group of people that we work with in Romania. There are also roughly 60,000 orphans in Romania, and although they've tried to incorporate foster homes and home-style orphanages, there are still many large state-run orphanages with 50 to 100 children in them, children aging from 3 to upper teens, possibly even into their early 20s if they continue school. It's very difficult sometimes to take the gospel into these orphanages because they're state-run. They're usually hesitant to allow people to come in as Christians with the gospel. They're hesitant really to let anyone in unless they bring the right resources. You can bribe your way into an orphanage, but that's obviously not what we want to do. So it's not impossible though. God's made a way for us into many different orphanages in a lot of different ways. One of those ways we get into some orphanages is even Christmas shoeboxes, which I know you guys do through Samaritan's Purse. Another part of the Romanian culture that we think is important for you to know is the church culture in Romania. Romania is roughly 90% Orthodox. This is an Eastern Orthodox, Eastern Romanian Orthodox. It is a very religious church. It's based mostly on religion and tradition. There's not a lot of heart-based faith within the 90% of the population that claims to be Orthodox. So many people that we meet will say, oh, I don't want to hear about your gospel. I don't want to hear about your God. I'm Orthodox. oh, yeah, I already believe. I'm a Christian. I'm Orthodox. But they really have no true faith in their life. They have no relationship with Jesus. And so that is definitely a big need among many people in Romania, that they really need to know Jesus.
I want to tell you a little bit about my story and how I got to this point. And growing up in Romania, one of my favorite time of year was Christmas. Maybe some of you can relate to that. And some of my best memories are when I received shoeboxes. And it was far for me to understand why someone from a whole different continent will just decide all of a sudden to send us gifts, and just people that never met us will just bless us in this way. So I was growing up, and I didn't really like church, but I definitely liked going to church on that day. And I knew a lot of my friends who were like me, so it was pretty funny. I was like, oh, I haven't seen you in a long time. Yeah, I haven't seen you either, but here we are, you know, in this day. So I realized that it was more than receiving a gift. It was more than just, you know, enjoying these things from people that you probably will never even meet in your life, but it was about seeing the church at work and seeing your brothers and sisters sharing their blessings with others. And I was amazed that people halfway around the world will just decide to be part of your life in this way and be part of your story, and that they care to share their blessings, and they encourage me in my faith because of that. And often they will send us Bible verses along with a shoebox, and some of them were even in Romanian. They weren't the perfect Romanian, but that was fine because we could feel their love and their care, and that was amazing. And we got them every year. Sometimes we get one shoebox, sometimes we'll get even more because we didn't have enough kids in church. And I started wondering, why would someone do that? You know, can you just help someone in your neighborhood or someone that you know? Why do you have to help someone that you don't even know, that you might never even meet in your life? And I wasn't the only one affected by the shoeboxes. I saw many poor families being blessed by them. And when I say poor families, I'm talking about people that don't have anything to eat, or they live in a room that has no roof above, or they are just going through difficult times. And seeing their joy and their hope that they had while they were opening the shoe boxes, like this little girl that just got a toothbrush and she was very excited, I started to think about the amazing work that the church is doing because of this, because of the shoe boxes. And it made me think of one verse that we, about actually two verses that we find in 1 Corinthians 12, 4 to 6, where he says, there are different kinds of gifts, because we are all different. And then Paul says, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. And I understood that, you know, we have the same God, but he uses us in different ways. And he uses my brothers and sisters that I don't even know in an amazing way to bless people in Romania. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them and in everyone is the same God at work. So I realized that the church is an amazing work of Christ, and that he's working among us, and he's working using you and us, that he uses a little to do a lot. And everyone has a role in God's kingdom. And as I was growing up, I wanted to be part of that too, also because of the shoeboxes, and also because of the way I saw people being impacted by that. And I grew up in a Christian life, and my dad was a leader in the church. And I always knew something about God. I always, I had to go to church, even though I didn't quite like that, because he was a leader, so I was supposed to be there. And I was often surrounded by Christians, and I knew what they believe, and I knew a lot of things about the Bible and from the Bible, but I didn't have my own relationship with Jesus. And ever since I was a kid, we had many foreigners that would come to visit my church. And sometimes even my family would host them. And I really like Americans and English people. I don't know why. They're just funny, and it was fun to be around them. And I started dreaming that one day I might marry one. And evidently God heard that, and he worked in that way. So every summer we had English camps, and I got to be part of that. And sometimes we translate for these guys from America, and we'd help them in different ways. But what I saw in their life was their genuine love for Christ that really challenged me to see God in a personal way. And it challenged me to serve God with my whole heart. And eventually, during one of these camps, I decided that God wants me to follow him, and I surrender my life to Christ. And throughout the year, my Romanian youth leaders helped me to grow in my faith. And in my church, we had many orphans, and many of them were Roma. And that's the worst in Romania, to be an orphan and to be a Roma, because that brings a lot of judgment, a lot of discrimination. And it's hard for them to find jobs. It's hard for them to just be accepted in our culture. People don't want to be around them. People don't want to be friends with them. They don't want to have anything to deal and to do with them. So I was growing up with them, and I saw them in church, and it was, you know, they were funny. They all like to play soccer, and it's a fun time to be around them, because Romanians especially like soccer. So I started to enjoy spending time with them, and I really liked them. And I saw God working in their life, even though they are so oppressed, and in many ways they're not even loved at all. I started to have a heart for them. And because of this friendship, I began to have a heart for serving and loving the orphans. And God talks a lot about orphans in the Bible. It's interesting. If you go through the Old Testament, you see all the verses where God talks about orphans. You will find so many passages where he talks about that. And one of them is in Isaiah 1:17, where he says, learn to do good, seek justice, reprove the ruthless, defend the orphan, plead for the widow. And you know, while I was going through all this and hearing all these things, I realized that God really cares deeply for orphans, that he loves them, that he has a plan for them, that he wants to be part of their life, of their story. And I wanted to be part of their story too. So God continued to grow in my heart for orphans because I realized that they don't have anyone to speak for them. They don't have a voice. They don't have anyone to defend them. They don't have anyone to be there for them when they need love and help. So God was growing more and more this in my heart, and I realized that this is something that I want to invest my life in because of God and because I was orphaned without Christ and because of what he did in my life. And I was growing older and in my when I was in high school and I had to think about my future, I began to think about what I want to do with my life, and I wanted to be a doctor because my older daughter was, my older brother, he was studying in medical school to become a doctor, and my dad was very excited at this. He was like, sure, yeah, I'll have two sons that will be doctors. And so I don't know, Dad, I don't know about that because I can't really handle blood. So he started laughing. He was like, don't be a fool, you know, you can do this. And I said, no, I really can't do that. And I really didn't like needles or blood. So I just said, you know, God will ask something else for me. And he did. He had other plans. So I decided to go out of Bible college in 2010 and study to become a pastor. So that's pretty crazy because to be a pastor, that doesn't really put a lot of food on the table in Romania. So a lot of people ask me, why do you want to do that? You know, you might starve sometimes. But I knew that God wants for me to serve him in this way. But it was only one problem, that this college is 12 hours away by train from the city where I grew up. So that was a challenge, you know, to go so far away from my family and from my friends and from the places that I know in a city where I didn't know anyone or anything. I never went there before. It was difficult to decide to go there. But I did because 2 John 1:6 says, and this is love, that we walk in obedience to his commandments. And I knew, and I was struggling, God, I don't really want to do this, but I know that I have to. You know, and I tried to avoid this, and I tried to find excuses, but I knew that I had to obey his commandments. And John continues and says, as you have heard from the beginning, his command is that you walk in love. And I knew that this is God that's working in my life and that he wants me to go there. And now I'm finishing my master's in pastoral ministry and missiology, and next summer I'll graduate. And I can see how God worked in my life in the last 5 years. That because of that, I got to be part of the ministry that he's doing there. And it was an amazing journey.
Well, we're going to back up a little bit and talk about my story now. I first heard about Romania when I was 13 years old. I went to church camp, and there was a missionary there speaking about his ministry that he had done in Romania, working with orphans and street kids. And it really pierced my heart and challenged me. It kind of opened my eyes to the rest of the world. And I went home and told my mom, someday I'm going to go to Romania on a mission trip. And, you know, she asked a few questions and then said, okay, well, maybe you will someday. Well, I didn't really know what God was doing, but he was shaping my heart, and he was giving me a heart for orphans. He was revealing a part of his heart, because we know that this is God's heart, just as James 1:27 tells us. Religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this: to look after orphans and widows in their distress, and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. God was growing and building a love for Romanian orphans in my heart before I'd even met one, before I'd even been to the country. But I really just continued to have this desire, and I continued to talk about going to Romania as I grew up. I continued to sing this little Romanian song that missionary had taught us for years. And it wasn't really until college that I realized the full extent of what God was doing in my heart and the purpose that God had for me and why he put Romania on my heart. And I took this class called Perspectives on World Missions. And it was during that class that I just, my eyes were kind of open to God's heart for the nations. And it had been kind of happening slowly throughout school and throughout just growing in my faith. But at that point, it was just laid so blatantly before me that just God has this heart for the lost people in the world and for people in places that don't have a church that is able to reach them. And I realized that God didn't just want me to go on a mission trip to Romania, but God wanted me to go to Romania and live. And I didn't really know how long that was going to be for. But I was willing because I knew that the Great Commission in Matthew 28 says, "Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. And surely I'm with you always to the very end of the age." I realized that this command was not just for pastors or missionaries or those people that we often put in a different class in our minds, but that is a command for every believer, every child of God is called to obey this command. And I realized that God was revealing to me how I was supposed to obey that command. Now, obviously, you're not all commanded to go to Romania, but everyone has a way that they can obey this command. So by the end of this class that I had taken that semester in school, I committed in my heart to go to Romania full time. But I didn't say this out loud. I wasn't quite ready for that yet. I told God and I prayed and I even wrote it on this little anonymous slip of paper in the class that they wanted us to turn in. And then I just kind of went about my business, but I kept talking about Romania and wanting to go there. But I just wasn't quite ready to say out loud, "God and everyone else know that I will go to Romania and be a missionary for the rest of my life," or however long God wants me to be. But I knew I had to find a way to get there because I still didn't really know how it was going to go. Well, the next, about 6 months later in the fall semester, there was a national missionary convention, and through my college, I could go there for free. So I thought, oh, great, an opportunity. I can go there, find a way to get to Romania. There were thousands of people in there. They're all involved and passionate about missions and about God bringing the gospel to the lost all around the world. I spent most of that convention walking around those booths, these hundreds of booths, asking people, "Do you have missionaries in Romania? Do you have missionaries in Romania? Do you know anyone in Romania?" And everyone kept saying, "No, no, no, I don't know. Maybe we did, but I don't think we do anymore." And I was getting a little frustrated because I thought, okay, God, I'm confused. Like I said, I would do this, but, you know, how am I supposed to get there? Then I went to the last big session and they had worship and a speaker. And then at the end they said, "Now, if there's anyone here that God has stirred your heart for full-time missions, and during this convention, you know, you've made a commitment to full-time missions, we want you to come forward and pray." And I thought, well, I don't have to because I committed this 6 months ago because there's, you know, all these people. And as people started going, they're all clapping and crying and cheering. And I was like, that's just embarrassing. But then they said, "Or maybe you made this commitment before, but you have not professed it in front of the body of Christ." And I thought, oh, man, you got me there, God. So I had to go down, and they said, "We just want to pray with you. We just want to talk a little bit with you and pray with you." So I thought, okay, well, you know, it doesn't hurt to be prayed for. So I went down and went in this other room, and they split us all up. There's a lot of people, and they split us up into little groups of three, and then they sent a leader to each group to pray with us. And this man came to my group, introduced himself as Doug. He talked with the two other guys in my group, and then he talked to me. And when he heard Romania, he exclaimed, "Romania!" And I thought something was wrong. But really, he had been praying with his mission agency the night before for more missionaries to go to Romania. So I'd been trying to find my own way to Romania, and God was waiting for me to completely surrender, to step out in obedience, and he provided the way. And he put me face to face with the president of the mission agency that we now serve with. So God was really just working in my heart and teaching me more about obedience and surrender. And so it was out of that same obedience, the same obedience to the Great Commission, that I stepped out in faith, and I spent the summer of 2011 in Romania, and then in December of 2012, I moved there. So it's been almost 3 years now since I moved there, and God has continued to ask me to walk in obedience and faith. It's not always been easy. There's been a lot of closed doors, a lot of frustrations when I thought, God, I thought this was going to happen, and now it didn't, or a lot of confusion sometimes, but God continued to provide for the next step and the next step to continue walking in obedience. I didn't always know his purpose. I didn't always understand his plan, but I just had to trust him. And in Romans 8:11, it says, I'm going to go ahead and flip to it. And if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies because of his spirit who lives in you. So I've been living in Romania for 3 years, and it's been 3 years of different struggles, learning language, learning the culture, finding a place to live, finding friends, finding a place to serve. I didn't persevere because of my own strength. It's not because I'm strong. I wasn't brave enough on my own to move to Romania. I wasn't able to find my own way just because of my own ingenuity. It's because God's spirit is living within me that I'm able to do this and that I've been able to serve him and work. And I hope that that I am a willing vessel for his spirit. And it's incredible now because I look back over the last 3 years and it seemed like this just twisted, crazy, dead-end road that I kept having to go down. But now I can look back and I see God's hand and I see God leading me in different ways and giving me learning experiences, so many learning experiences, because I didn't know what I was doing and I didn't understand Romanian culture and I didn't speak the language perfectly, but he gave me all of these opportunities to learn and grow. And now he gave me a partner in ministry and my husband. And God was just completely in control, even throughout what felt like chaos to me in my life. So, but it was just his spirit in me that really has led me through the last 3 years.
So we want to tell you a little bit of the things that we do now in Romania. And I'm not saying we're either, because we are involved also in other places in Romania. And as we already said, we have a heart for orphans, and we believe that this comes directly from God's heart. And throughout the Bible, it's clear that God has a heart for orphans. And one of these passages is the one in Jeremiah 22, verse 3, where Jeremiah says, "Do justice," God says through Jeremiah, "do justice and righteousness, and deliver the one who has been robbed from his power of his oppressor. Also do not mistreat or do violence to the stranger, the orphan, or the widow, and do not shed innocent blood in this place." So we are very passionate of working and serving the orphans, and I think I forgot to mention that Romania has about 60,000 orphans, and there are many of them, and it's difficult for them to find a church or just a community that will love them, or just a family. Not a lot of people adopt in Romania, and we see God working in their lives, so we want to be part of that. We want to serve them. So we work with them in a variety of ways. We are on a kids club for younger kids, teaching the Word of God and being the hands and feet of Jesus for them. We go there every week now lately. We used to go twice a month there, but now we go every week, and we are on this club for them where we teach them a Bible lesson, and we have games with them. It's just incredible to see how they grow in their knowledge of God. Recently, we had 7 kids that just came there in the orphanage. We have around 25 kids in this small place. And they've been abused, they've been neglected, their parents weren't actually the parents that they needed, and it's amazing to see how they're just like a sponge, and they're absorbing everything that you're giving them. They don't even know how to read and write, but they want to read the Bible, and they want to learn Bible verses and songs, and it's just sweet to see how God is moving them and changing them. We also build a relationship with older orphans, and those who have aged out of the orphanage. And we help them every summer with camps. In the last 4 years, we had camps for orphans. In the last 2 years, we had camps for orphans that are mentally handicapped, because a lot of them have been abused in orphanages, and now they are handicapped or retarded because of the incredible wrong things that happened there. in the past years. Alyssa and a couple other ladies are working with preteen and teenage girls to bring the love and hope of Christ in order to prevent pregnancies, because a lot of them get pregnant in the orphanage with other orphans, and then they just, you know, the cycle goes on and on and on, and they bring more orphans because of that. So Alyssa with two other friends are working to tell them that they can find love in Christ, that they don't have to look for love they don't have to look for a man to find love, because God already loves them. And they want to prevent pregnancy, prostitution, and trafficking. And trafficking is a big problem in Romania. Thousands of girls and kids are being trafficked around Europe, and they are just sent through Europe to being prostituted. And these are common results of young ladies who grew up in orphanage system. So now recently, they just started working in a big orphanage in Oradea, where we live, because God has a way of working in that place, and we're glad to be part of that. And we also work at a church, and we are passionate about communities of believers where the word of God is taught and the grace is shared and the lost are welcomed. What I'm saying by the lost are welcome is that there are many churches in Romania, but not many of them welcome strangers or homeless people or orphans, and many of them have had bad church experiences. And because of that, many of them have walked away from God and from their faith. And they don't want to deal anything. They don't want to deal with the church, or they don't even want to be invited to church because of what happened, because of one of their churches. But we are excited to work in a small church, and be part of that where anyone is welcomed. We had Muslims there, and we had homeless people, and orphans, and Roma people, and teenagers, and college students, and foreigners. So we are excited to be part of a community that really shows God and His love for people. And we also serve there in different ways, preaching and teaching and leading worship and discipling. And we see God working in His body. And that's one of the churches, one of the communities where we want to be part of, that really displays God, no matter of the way you are dressed or no matter of the way you look or the color of your skin. And it's exciting to see how God is working there.
So that's a little bit about what we do now and what we've been doing. I'm going to share a little bit about our hope for the future and for the future of our ministry. We really hope at some point to move to a different area of Romania. The area that we live in has quite a few churches and ministries. And there are many cities in Romania that have no evangelical presence, no ministry, no church, just hardly even any believers probably. And we would like to go to one of those places and build house churches. That is our goal, to make disciples and to build up believers that will be faithful, obedient disciples of Jesus Christ. And we really want them to realize that as they become a disciple, that then they are called to this same obedience to Christ to make more disciples. In Acts 1:8, it tells us that you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you shall be my witnesses both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and even to the ends of the earth. We believe this applies to our lives and the lives of all God's children. And we want to teach others to become God's witnesses both in their communities, in their towns, in their counties, and in their country, and to the ends of the earth. And we believe that Romanians can do this as well. We hope to continue, no matter where we are, continue working with orphans, of course. Obviously, you've seen our heart for that. We want to teach them the Word of God. We want to teach them to memorize Scripture and memorize Scripture with them. We want to love them with the love of Jesus. And we want to disciple them into mature believers. We want to help these children as they grow up, age out of the orphanage, and become independent individuals that won't fall into trafficking and won't fall into thieving as a way of life or living on the streets. We really believe that these kids have potential and that God has a purpose for their lives too. We're praying about where exactly in Romania God would have us go. There are a couple areas, either in the northeast or the south of Romania, that are very unchurched, very lacking in a presence of the gospel. The gospel just isn't spreading there much, and we really want to go to some place there. So we would really appreciate your prayers for God's direction and guidance as we look forward into that and as we seek direction and seek an opportunity and a place that we could go. We'd also love to have other Romanian Christians come with us to that place. We're praying that God would stir in the hearts of some of our Romanian friends in the area that we live in, or in Răzvan's hometown even, just stir in their hearts a desire to reach their own people and a desire to share the gospel with the lost. We really believe that the kingdom of God will come in Romania through God's children. And we really hold firmly to 2 Peter 1:3 that says, His divine power has given us everything we need for a godly life through our knowledge of Him who has called us by His own glory and goodness. And as followers of Jesus, we have been given divine power by the Holy Spirit within us. And it's the same power that God has given David. It's the same power that God has given Stephen, that God has given me. God gives His Spirit freely. He doesn't portion it out in measurements based on your faith or based on what ministry you've done. He freely has given His Spirit by the sacrifice of Christ and what Christ did. It's not about what we do. And so we really believe that God will work through us and work through the other believers that we work with. I also believe that God will work through you guys in your community. And I believe God can reach the lost people in Concordia, in Cloud County, in Kansas, in the United States, and the ends of the earth because His Spirit is in you. I'd really like to challenge each of you to consider who the lost people are around you are, who the lost people next door are, or down the street or down the road. And God has given every single child of His gifts and talents and abilities so that they can reach the people that He has purposed them to reach and that they can bring His kingdom. I know beyond a shadow of doubt that God has given you gifts, abilities, and talents. He's created with a purpose. He's given you His Holy Spirit, and He has a purpose for your life, and that purpose is in line with His will and His purpose to reach the world. He wouldn't create two different purposes. He doesn't create you in a purpose that is outside of His purpose for bringing the gospel to the whole world, and then He will be glorified. So I really challenge you to consider that, to go home and pray about that, and to think about the ways that you, your family, your community, your small group, your Sunday school, whatever it might be, how can you guys reach the lost right here in Concordia or wherever God might call you? We really enjoyed our time being here with you and learning from David in church and being here off and on for the last couple months. And we're so glad that we got to come here. I don't know if we're early or late. I didn't watch my watch. So hopefully we did okay. We will be out at the table if you want to sign up for our newsletters and prayer updates. If you'd like to grab a prayer card or if you have any other questions, we'd love to chat with you. So thank you so much for allowing us to share what God's doing in Romania.
As you can see very easily why we moved from a 10-minute time period, and there is a lot more that they could share, and you can show your love to Răzvan by saying you're here till what? December 1st. And so maybe you could take them out to lunch or something, you know. That would be, since love is spelled food, you know, that's the way we're going to spell it, food tonight. It's a love banquet tonight there. As they are walking in obedience to God, they are igniting hope for families in Romania. And because they have walked in obedience to God, I know what has happened as you've listened. They've inspired you. So as they were obedient to God where they were, it has now come halfway around the world and inspired you. And that's the movement of God. And then we, in turn, as we ignite hope for families in our communities, we are going to inspire those orphans, other individuals, missionaries around the world, not only in Romania, but Ecuador, Panama, all the outreach that we as a church are enabled to do. One last thing that I'll say. I asked Răzvan, this question I like to ask missionaries, as you've been back in the United States, what's your observation about the American church? here's the first thing he said. I would want them to know that they are making a difference. Oh, well. I was expecting maybe about how selfish we are or caught up in materialism and we get caught up in our little world. But then he told me the story of the shoebox. And I thought, wow, thank God. And we thank God for them. And one way you can continue to make a difference, sign up for the newsletter. They're part of Remember the Children and Team Expansion. Get their prayer card. Sign up if you want to commit to pray and find out more about what's going on with them. Sign up for their newsletter. And then you can also continue to be a part not only of ministries like this, but through your faith promise giving. And so today, if you have that, you can hand it to me or put it in the little offering box that we have in the lobby. Or if you have to talk about it with your spouse, bring it tonight to the banquet. And after the meal, we will announce our faith promise commitments. Let's pray.